All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and they said, well, tell us when this will be. And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of sorrows. After that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because of sin, and because it shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this good news of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come." It's good always to know how everything ends up. We win. It's good to know how everything is going to finally come to a close or to an end. The good guys win. The question is, who's a good guy? The bad guys lose. The question is, who's a bad guy? Is this something I need to, what am I doing wrong? I'm all right. The end of the world has come. The good guys are not who you think the good guys are, and the bad guys are not whom you think the bad guys are. God doesn't cut the world the way we cut the world. He doesn't distinguish like we distinguish. So you have to learn how he talks. To be righteous with God, you have to be wicked. So if you're going to be righteous with God, you must be wicked. You must be ungodly. God, who is just, will justify the ungodly. So if he justifies the ungodly, you have to qualify by being ungodly. I dare say you've done well. So ungodliness is not, again, what you think. Now, I'm going to show you how God thinks, how he divides so that you understand the judgment of the world when Jesus returns, because his return will not be far away. God, the King, looking down from heaven, God is going to judge the world by his left hand and by his right hand. He'll put all of the sheep on the right hand and all of the goats on the left hand. Now, the goats are those whom God will cut off. The sheep are all of those nations that God will approve. And every nation will come into this judgment. Now, when the Lord comes back, he will come back not as a savior, but he will come back as a king. And kings judge differently than saviors. In saviors, the only way you can be right with God is to be on the right side. So if you're on the right side of God or the right hand of God, you receive his mercy. Everyone who fails the left side of God, here's his left hand, here's his right hand. Everyone who's on the right side of God comes through his mercy. Everyone on the left side comes through his law. Now, if you're righteous under the law, you'll be rejected. If you're ungodly and you fail, and therefore you run for refuge to his mercy, then you will be redeemed. But when Jesus comes back again, the second time, he won't be a savior. He will come back as a king. And at that time, he will take over the nations. Right now, Jesus is over all the nations, but he's not exercising his kingship. Why does Jesus delay? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. So he has all the authority right now to rule the world, to take everything. But he doesn't sit on the throne. He lets the world be in difficulty and trouble. I'm not doing anything wrong. So, the handheld? I don't mind it. I mean, as long as it doesn't just show up on the tape or something. You people out there in tape land? Got a bad wire. Perfect. Very good. You guys keep messing with me, we'll be perfect. When Jesus comes back again, he will judge the world. Right now, he is not judging the world. That is, he is judging it, but he's not exercising his judgment. He hasn't called them into court yet. But when he comes back again, he will come as a king and sit on a throne, and he will judge the nations, separating them. Now, those liars today, those who are false, those prophets that are lying are saying that the world will be united. I will tell you the truth. The world will be divided. It will never be united. So those that pray for world peace or those that believe that all men will be unified are liars. And they will be moved then to the left side. God will not unify the world. God will divide the world. And he divides it according to his church. So those that are on the right side will be divided from those on the left side. There will never be world unity. Never. Never was from the beginning of the world until the end. Every man is free. If there's a unified world, then you will lose all your freedom. The only freedom you have is because there's a divided world. And God has decided this. It's not up to man to decide. Man can't unite just because he wants to. God has already determined it. There will never be union. There will never be unity. There will never be. Because God has not called us into unity based upon agreement with all men. He's called us to truth. Truth divides. So even though love is unifying, love has no meaning unless it's based upon truth. Truth then divides. We love all men. We love all men, but we love all men to the point that we would save them by bringing them to the truth, not that we are going to live with them forever. Men will be cut off. There will be those on his left hand that will not survive. So when Jesus comes back again to take the rule of this world, he will judge all the nations, and every nation will be condemned without exception. Not one nation will survive. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation. The only nation that will survive will be those who fear the Lord. No other nation will be saved. No other nation will come into protection or reward. So when Jesus comes back again, he's telling us now how it's going to be. And you need to know because it's going to happen. It's already happening. Now, when the Bible said, as I just read, there will be wars and rumors of wars, you are not now in a war. You are now in a rumor of war. It's been happening for the last several years in such a way that fulfills this verse that says, in the last days, don't think it's the end. It's only the beginning. In the last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, there will be earthquakes, there will be diseases, there will be all kinds of problems and troubles on the earth. That's just the beginning. So we've seen earthquakes, and there are more earthquakes coming. Israel itself is due for a large earthquake. Every 75 years or so, they get another earthquake, a major earthquake. Israel itself is about to get such an earthquake, but it's been held off. So that's just according to human standard. But Jesus said these earthquakes will be all over the earth. They will be happening everywhere. There will be wars, rumors of wars, pestilences, famines, people starving, too much rain in one place, too much dry in another place. These are just the beginnings of the sorrows. Now, that would be bad news, and most of you look sober right now. That would be bad news if you didn't know the whole story. So I want to tell you the whole story so that you understand that when he comes back, there will be this division that is made. Now, prior to this, he spoke about five foolish maidens and five wise maidens. When the king comes back to judge the nations of the world, he will do so based on a certain standard. And that standard is righteousness. However, righteousness on the right side looks totally different than righteousness on the left side. Here, the righteousness is under the law. God wants everyone to be perfect, everyone to be like him. God is perfect. God is righteous. So if we come under this law, we will be condemned. Because no man has ever lived who is justified by works of the law. Therefore, the mishpatim of God, the mishpat, his judgment will be just to condemn everyone who is not perfect. If you even have one spot, one wrinkle, one sin, then you will be rejected. So that is what the natural world, all the nations of the world, are under this mishpatim. And it will then be said of them, they are unrighteous because they were not perfect. Over on this side, you have to be imperfect. And you're made righteous, not by obeying, but by believing. You believe that God cannot lie. That God has made a promise. And his promise is that if you sin on my left hand, if you sin under the law, if you don't make it over here, you can, if you choose, run over here. And on that basis, he will judge all the nations. So over here, his promise is this, that if you sin over here, I will forgive you over here, and you must ask for that. You must say, I want to be forgiven. I have sinned. I've not just sinned in this point, but I've sinned totally. I've not done anything that you've wanted. I am not spotless. I have blemishes. And therefore I should perish, but I believe your promise that says, through Jesus Christ and his blood and no one else, I will be saved. If those that believe that are called by God, imputed by God, declared by God to be righteous. So our understanding of righteous is left side. God's understanding is right side. So on the left side of God, if you were to be righteous, then his mishpatim would be on the left side, would be your death. That's the law of sin and death. If you sin, you die. So you would be cut off under God's judgment. So his judgment would then be that you are cut off from God. On the other side, here is his mishpatim, same mishpatim, but to you who are tzaddik, that is righteous in the eyes of the Lord, or in the Greek language, dikaios. If you are dikaios, that means you are made right with God, not by keeping his law, but by breaking his law and running to God as a refuge through the blood of Jesus as your only hope. That is how the nations, which are political units, will be judged, whether they are right with God or wrong with God. So even though it's a religious idea, it actually is a political idea. That in the end, when Jesus comes back, you will see that both religion and politics are joined together. Because he's not only our priest, he is also our king. In fact, he is the priest king. Because his political government will be based upon righteousness on the right side, not on the left side. Nevertheless, he who is the king actually kept the complete law on the left side. So God's left hand is where God designed that for the perfect, obedient person. And that perfect, obedient person, I'm over here. I'm over here. Here I am over here. That righteousness by which we are made righteous is not left-handed, but it's right-handed. You have to have failed. Now, I believe most of you are keeping that up on a daily basis, where you've still messed up daily. Am I correct on that? So, therefore, none of you would make it. You would all perish. Every nation and every individual would perish. Every church will perish if the standard is perfection. And that's why the world speaks today of unity, because that way, at least if everybody agrees, maybe God has to take into account. God will not. God's standard is Jesus Christ. He did keep the left hand. Jesus Christ is righteous, and so the judgment for Jesus is not through mercy. It's based upon the fact that he actually did everything his Father said. He said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. None of us have ever done that. Therefore, we would be cut off. So the standard is very high, and the nations of this world are called not just to an external righteousness like politics, but to an internal, from the heart, righteousness, which can only come from the right hand. So all who believe then are accounted, are declared, are imputed to be righteous because of the mercy through the blood of Jesus, which communion we have just taken. You cannot then be on the right side of God unless you're right with God. That's your righteousness. That righteousness is not your own. You didn't produce it. You have nothing to do with it. It's a pure gift. You didn't earn it. What you earned was death. What God gives you is life. In God, then, through his mishpatim, his judgments, you are declared to be righteous. And if you believe that and take that, accept that, then the equity of God, the equalness of God, is given to you through the Holy Spirit so that you actually can produce fruit or evidence which shows that you truly believe. If you believe, you will have fruit. You can't say, well, I believe, but I never did anything. No, if you never did anything, that means the Holy Spirit wasn't in you. That means you really didn't believe. So the sign that you are a true believer is not that you live in perpetual sin. The sign that you're a true believer is that you live in perpetual asking forgiveness. You live in perpetual, God help me, God forgive me, God bless me, God give me the Holy Spirit, pour out the Holy Spirit upon me. And so you're clean with God every day by saying, God, I failed your left hand, therefore I run to your right hand for mercy. If you only run for mercy, but you continue to operate in the left hand, and you don't admit it, you don't confess before God, God, I am wicked to the hilt. If you don't do that on a daily basis, you cannot run then to the right hand. You're just talking. So those that say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but what you really mean is, I'm still trying to do on the left hand and lie to God. You must come clean with him every day and say, Lord, I've not been a good husband. I've not been a good wife. I've not been a good person. I've not been submitted to you. I've not feared you. I have done my own thing. That's the only confession that God will accept. If you're a good person, you will be rejected by God because you're a liar. If you're an evil person and you confess that and run over here and say, God, I am evil and I confess that, but I want you to give me as a free gift by your promise that if I come before you and ask you for forgiveness, you can't turn me down. Because I know I'm unrighteous, I know I'm ungodly, but I know you also are the justifier of the ungodly. Do you all understand that? We've said it a million times, a thousand times, a gazillion times, but you got to get it inside of yourself to realize you must be guilty. Now, a lot of you are trying still to be good, and because you're trying to be good, you'll be rejected. You have to stop trying to be good and admit you'll never be good, ever. You have never been good. You will never be good. You're not now trying to be good, and you're moving in that direction. You have been wicked from the beginning, and that's all God wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear how wonderful you're growing. Oh, I'm better and better every day. No, you're not. You are just seeing more clearly every day how wicked you are, what a liar you are, and even after being a Christian on the right hand, you still go back every morning and start all over again in sin. Every morning you're proud again. Every morning you're judgmental. Every morning you're bitter. Every morning you're worrying. Every morning you're still vain. You still live in the vanity of this world. Every single day. Now, this is not a trick on God's part. He deliberately gave the law knowing that only Jesus would fulfill it, to expose you so that you would deliberately run over and take his mercy. There's no point in giving you good news unless you have bad news. There's no point in going to a doctor unless you're sick. You're not going to go over to the right hand if you believe you're good enough on the left hand. And what God hates more than anything in the world is not your evil. What he hates anything more in the world is hiding your evil from him. Just bring your evil out, not to people. Just bring your evil out to God. God, I have been wicked. I've been shallow. I've been cold. I haven't wanted to pray. I didn't worship you today. Even when I worshiped you, I was very proud of that. I'm a sinner. I am wicked beyond measure. You should have a little bell on you as you go around. People know you're coming. Watch out for me. I am wicked. I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. And I hate you. You know, that would be a warning to people. If you marry me, watch out. You know, if you enter into a deal with me, you're going to be hurt. Because I am not what I appear to be. I am a phony and a fake and a liar. Now, if you would do that, that pleases God, but it also would be helpful to the rest of us. The reason I'm saying that is because this is actually the truth about God, which nobody, it's a mystery, nobody in the natural world could ever figure that out. Buddha never figured it out. The Hindu religion never figured it out. Islam never figured it out. Judaism didn't figure it out. None of the religions of this world have ever figured out the truth about God. Yet it's all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament, and people have lived it in every age. So it's not impossible to get a hold of it. But unless you live on the right hand of God and realize, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee constantly, continually, because otherwise, on this side, I'll never make it. Now, when Jesus comes back, you all understood that. You all know that you're wicked, evil. We could have testimonies right now. People confessing and saying, you're right, I worry too much. You're right, I lie. You're right, I'm a deceiver. You're right, I want to look good. I don't want to serve you and I don't want to go to heaven. I don't like the idea of playing a harp and I don't want to do that. Well, you have to admit to yourself and to God, stop lying to yourself and to God. God, before men I'll lie, but to you and to myself I'll tell you the truth. I'm no good. I've been miserable since the time I've been born. I'm a liar, I'm proud, I'm fearful, I'm a contradiction in terms, and I can't imagine anyone living with me. Now, that's the truth. I'm not paid because I tell you that. I'm told by God, tell him that. So I had to do that. I wanted to say something nice. But God said, tell him the truth. Now, the reason is that's your only good news. Your only good news is that you're full of bad news and you needed the good news because you had deserved only the bad news. Now, God doesn't want you to be good. What he wants to be good. He wants to be good. And he wants to give you as a free gift his goodness. That's God. God is not the kind of God that says, I want to kill off the wicked and save the righteous. That's not God. God is the one that says, I want to forgive all of the wicked. And there aren't any righteous. Except for my son Jesus, who is the judge. He's the standard. That's why the goal of your life is to become like Christ. Not in heaven someday, but now. But how can you do it? Right hand. Anyone who takes a hold of his right hand and says, God, left hand I failed. Right hand, though, I do believe that you don't lie. I believe you made a promise that if I said, forgive me, I'm sorry, that you would then forgive me and then give me the Holy Spirit to help me. You're not a liar. Now, that's all God has ever wanted. Most of you, I'm going to catch you right now, most of you want happiness rather than truth. Most of you are looking for your own pleasure, your own fulfillment. You're hoping that somehow, you know, you'll get right with God later. And somehow in this world, you're trying to get as much happiness as possible. You want to live long. You want things to go well. And you're stuck on happiness. If you want happiness, you will never make it with God. You must give up happiness. You must give it up. Happiness is not a goal. Happiness is a byproduct of giving it up. Once you give it up, you'll be happy. Once you stop wanting it, you'll be happy. You must realize that your happiness comes from the Lord, which is the truth. Search for truth, for wisdom, not for happiness, personal pleasure. Pleasure is only for a season. It's a lie. It's vanity. It doesn't work. If you got everything you wanted, if you got everything you wanted and more, you would never be happy because you're a miserable person. Apart from God, you can do nothing. You're not going to ever make it apart from God. You are not a good husband. You are not a good pastor. You're not a good wife. You're not a good child. You're not a good anything. You're no good. Now, that's why people don't like this church. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. I don't care that people don't like this church because it's the truth. Now, someday, some of you, maybe all of you, I hope all of you, will thank me and say, thank you for telling us the truth rather than making us feel good, comforting us with a false comfort. The only true comfort is to tell you how God actually divides. He will have the sheep on one hand, he'll have the goats on the other. Now, I just told you that every nation will be on the left side, except for Israel. Only Israel will be saved. Only Israel as a nation will repent and come to God, not America. I'm going to say it again, not America. I want you to understand that America will be judged along with all the other nations. You are a nation inside of a nation. The only nation in America that will be saved are the elect, that is, those on the right side. But in Israel's case, God will eliminate, and he's going to do it now. He's working on them right now. Remember that Jesus came the first time, and he could be king right now, but he said no. Here's what he said. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He has all of it in heaven, all of it on earth. He has got all authority for politics, for religion, for everything. But he said this. Here was his first judgment. I'll let judgment begin in the household of God. I'm not going to start with the state. I'm going to start with the church. So he's been working for 2,000 years to bring his church not to the left side, but to the right side. And the church still will not admit that it's done wrong. The church is still every day bragging and boasting. You know, we're saved, you're going to hell. We're doing good, you're doing bad. God likes us, he doesn't like you. You've missed it totally. God never wanted you to be good. He wanted you to be bad. He wanted you to admit every day. This is the one thing about the church, should be just the only place where you don't have to lie. You know that you have a flesh. Your flesh is full of evil. You need to tell that to God every day. God, you'll have to kill my flesh today. It's jumped up again. I thought I killed it off yesterday, but it's come right back again. I'm proud again today. I'm afraid again today. I'm jealous again today. I'm mean again today. I'm nasty. I'm selfish. I want happiness. Yesterday I said I didn't, but today I'm back again at the trough. Like a dog returning to its vomit. You're not going to ever improve. I thought I'd get better and better. I've gone to Pastor Jim's discipleship training, teaching, and I'm still in trouble. I'm still devious and a liar and vain and selfish. So I'm not getting any better. That's right. You'll never be any better. Get used to the idea that you're not going to get better. The only thing God wants from you is not improvement. He wants death. God isn't trying to help you along. He's trying to kill you off. When he invited Israel into the wilderness, it was to kill them. Now, not kill them in the physical sense, but kill them in the soulish sense. No more self, no more you, all me. So your flesh has to die so that your spirit can live. And so he's separating everybody right now in the world, and the nations will be judged on this basis, the light from the dark, the salt from that which has no savor at all. You are to be the light of the world. Now you must admit to God, God, I haven't been much of a light. Maybe 3 watts. I haven't been as bright as I could have been. How many understand that? You're not individually, but not as a church either. We have failed in every way. We do not belong in the kingdom on the left side, but thank God we can run for refuge on the right side of God and say, God, I want your righteousness to be mine. I don't have any of my own on the left side, so I'm going to take all of yours on the right side, free gift. And God will just impute to you, and if you believe that, you will see the evidence in your life. You will be, for one thing, you'll be happy all the time. That's how you can tell if you're a Christian. If you're happy all the time, you're a Christian. How many are happy all the time? You sure? All the time. Who else? I saw one or two hands. Let me see some more. Norman? You're happy all the time? All the time. Praise God. David? Okay. Are you sure? Okay. We can't put up one finger, it's got to be a whole hand. A 1/5 of the time happy. No. Okay, well, we don't have too big a church here then. But I want this to be your testimony, is stop trying to be good. Stop trying to, get on God's right side. It's a gift. You don't earn it. You just believe it. Either God lied or he told the truth. The truth will set you free. Otherwise, you're going to be psychological. You're always going to be trying to pretend like you're getting improved and, so on and so forth. But you're just psychology. All you are is just psychology. It's what you think, what you feel, what you want. Who cares what you think, what you feel, what you want? That needs to die. That's the self we're trying to kill. That's the one that wants the happiness. So psychological happiness is not salvation. And you can get it from, having an experience with the Lord, but it won't last. Even if a miracle happened to you today, you'd be happy for a few minutes, and then you could have had a beer. It could have come from anything else. It has nothing to do at all with God. God is not after your psychological happiness. That's not how we raised our children, to be happy all the time. We raised them to teach them discipline and to break them so that they didn't have a will of their own. You don't wear what you want to wear. You don't say what you want to say. You don't eat when you want to eat. You do what I say. So we broke their will. Do you understand? That's not psychological happiness. And the reason our children are happy today is because we didn't give them happiness. We gave them truth. The Peggy gave them happiness, but I gave them truth. Peggy always wanted them to have fun. I always want them to, learn something. I want you to learn the truth, who we are. Peggy always wanted the kids to like her. I didn't care if they liked me or not. I'm not there. We're not in a popularity contest. I'm there to break your will, to see to it that you don't have a personality. You're either going to be controlled by me, your dad, or you're going to be told by Jesus Christ. But you are not going to control yourself. Now, you are a good parent if you break your children. They are not allowed to develop their personality. What they think is wrong. They'll be confused. What they feel is wrong. They'll be unhappy some of the time. What they want is wrong. Here's the right. Not my will, but thine be done. So only God's will. Take every thought captive to the word of God. Only God's thoughts are right. Think on things that are pure, that are holy, that are just, that are right, that are true. You don't get to think of, well, I don't understand why the other kids do. You don't think. Well, they're all wearing red dresses. Why do I have to wear a blue one? You're going to wear a blue one because that's the color we have. So children are not allowed to think. Do you understand? Do you all understand? You're not breaking their spirit. You're breaking their will. Well, I don't feel good about that. We don't care what you feel like. Well, okay. And so, David remembers. I remember, David, you used to sit right here on this front row, and you wanted to even wiggle your feet. And we just said, sit here and don't look around. And the other kids were all running around the church and having a good time. And David was sitting here. He said, Dad, it's boring. Be bored. You're going to be bored for 2 or 3 hours. And when I'm done, that's when we'll go home. That's the way to raise kids. You break them. Do you understand what I just said? So I'm not into Dr. Spock. I'm not into, being friendly and nice and winning approval and so on. The kids liking me. I don't care. Hello. Now, I learned that from God. Because that's the way God treated me. He said, Jim, I don't care what you think. You're going to think the way I tell you to think. I don't care what you feel. You're going to feel what I say. I want you to rejoice always. I don't want to. You be quiet. You'll do what I say. And you know what? I found happiness, even psychological, but I wasn't after that. I found happiness by dying. He that loveth his life and tries to keep it, you'll lose it. But if you let your life go and trust God, you'll find it. So if you keep it, you lose it. If you lose it, you keep it. Everything is upside down with God. Do you all understand? You're not God. God is God. Only God is God. And only God tells the truth. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So God's the only one that tells the truth. Everyone else always lies. So you can see that developing your personality would just be to develop a liar. would just be to develop somebody that was lustful. It would just be to develop somebody that's proud. Your personality needs to be killed. And that's the whole point of the church. And I dare say the church hasn't done that for the 2,000 years that it's been in business. It has actually cultivated the flesh. It's actually, you know, played with and manipulated the word, changed the word so that people felt good. But what you really want is truth. What you really want is truth. The truth will set you free. And so when he comes back and he judges the nations, I don't want you to get a D. I want you to get an F. I want you to realize that your only hope is over here on his right hand. And when Jesus comes back, he will be angry toward the wicked, who are not those that did wickedly. It's those that believe that God lied. Wickedness is not you at all. It has nothing to do with psychology. It has nothing to do with physical behavior. Wickedness has to do with whether you believe God told the truth or he lied. Those are wicked who believe that God lied. When he said, though you sin, I want you to run over here and get mercy. He didn't lie about that. And I will forgive you, and I will give you the kingdom. I will give you the whole kingdom. But all I want you to do is admit that over on the left hand, you sinned. You don't get the right hand unless you have to go first to the left hand. First hand, the left hand is first. So when you go over here to the left hand and you discovered, I just can't do it. I can't. I just can't do it. I can't. I can't do it. Good. That's very good. Now run over here. Because over here, I can do all things. I can do it. What? I can do all things. Through Christ. Over here, is this is me. I can't apart from Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But over here, I can do all things through Christ. That's the secret. Have you all learned that secret? That you want, there's a pride in you that wants to do it on your own. But you can't do it. You can't be happy. You'll never find happiness. That's a guarantee. Sooner or later, people will want truth. But right now, there's a war going on. But that war is not a real war. That war that's going on right now is going on in the spirit. That's a rumor of war that you're looking at. Hezbollah will be done in another week or so. They'll always carry on little bitty things. It's not a war. It's not a real war. It's not a war. It's not a war. It's only the beginning. The war is yet a time off. But when you see these things, he said, don't be deceived. Let no man deceive you. Deception is the sign of the end times. Deception comes from false teachers and true teachers. Some saying they're the Christ. Those that are bringing people together in large groups, they are false. You're not going to see multitudes coming. You have to come one by one by one by one by one. It has to be from the heart. You'll have to run to the right. Because if you try to get it on the left, you're not going to get it. So God wants to give you the kingdom. It's his pleasure. It's his desire. You know, has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with what you want or what you feel or what you think or how you've acted or whatever. It has only to do with one thing. That's what God wanted to do, is give you the kingdom. That's all. If you believe he told the truth on that, if you believe that promise, then you please God. The only thing that pleases God is that you believe he's good when you're bad. The only thing that pleases God is that you believe he's good when you're bad. He made that promise. Buddha never made a promise like that. Hinduism has no promises. The Muslims have no promises. The Jews have no promises. They have them, but they never listen to them. So because of that, their religions are all false. Our religion is built on promises, not on commands. If it were built on commands from the left side, we would all fail. And all religions will then be judged. But if it's built on a promise from the right side, that's the only true religion. We build our lives on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. You have to stand on God's promises and don't move. That though I'm wicked in and of myself, through Christ Jesus, I've been forgiven. Free gift. That. If you believe that, I don't mean psychologically. I'm not talking about in your mind. I don't know if I believe that, Pastor. You're just talking psychologically. I don't know if I believe that. I'm trying to believe that. I don't know if I believe that. This is all nonsense. This is nonsense. I hope nobody here said what I just said. Well, I'm trying to believe. I don't know if I'm sincere. I'm trying to be sincere. That's all left-hand stuff. That's psychological. You'll never get there. It's either happened or not. Either God said it or he didn't. I don't care what you feel about it, and I don't care what you think about it, and I don't care how you're desiring to be a Christian or something. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has nothing to do with you at all. It has to do with whether God lied. Do you believe that God lied? That's the only thing you need to do, is you being evil, do you believe God said he'd be good to evil people if they just simply say, I am evil, but you're good? So, now, if you believe that, the sign that you believe it is not you say it. If you believe that, the sign is that the Holy Spirit starts to operate and live in your life and make changes. If you look at yourself making the change, you won't change. But if you look at him who changes not, you'll change. I want you to follow what I just said. This is death. If you look at yourself making changes and go, oh, thank God I'm getting it, now you're just dead. But if you look at God who doesn't change at all, then you're free. In other words, let's say you wanted to get rid of anger. The way to get rid of anger is not to look and see if you did. The way to get rid of anger is to look at Jesus who didn't. You look at him who's perfect, you don't look at what's down here. Well, I'm watching my anger. It's like planting a seed in the ground. You plant the seed in the dirt, and then you dig it up every day and pull it out and see if it's, yeah, how's it doing? Yeah, that's coming along pretty good. Put that back in there. If every day you dig up the seed you planted, it'll never grow. Don't worry, we watered that. It'll be all right. God doesn't want you to look at yourself growing. He wants you to look at him who groweth not. The more you look at him, you'll grow. The more you look at yourself, you won't grow. That's the evil, the witchcraft of psychology. Did you hear me? Everybody goes to TCU, SMU, and all the U's throughout the world to learn psychological truths as though that was a truth. It's a lie. It's all binding to you. Honesty, psychological honesty, is worthless. It's of no value at all. It has no value. Not when it comes to truth. When it comes to truth, you don't want psychological honesty. That puts you on the left side. What you want is, what hath God said? Because whatever he hath said, he will perform. If he said Israel will be saved, she will be. And if he said the church will be on my right hand, we will be. And those are the two promises he made. He made no promise to any other nation. All the other nations will perish. All of the nations will be goats on his left side. Only the church and those nations that adhere to the word of God and believe that God is good, only those will survive. So now you understand the judgment of God. Now, the five foolish maidens and the five wise maidens. What's the difference? The five wise maidens for those that took oil in their lamp, because they endured to the end. Most Christians today are only interested in their beginning. Well, I was born again. Good. It's a good beginning. It's not salvation. Being born again is not salvation. No, the Bible says that when we believe, we were saved. Yes, that's your spirit. But you're more than just spirit. You also have a soul and a body. Your soul is not yet saved, nor is your body. Your body's future, your soul is being saved right now, and God is separating out flesh from spirit inside your soul. I've just explained to you how to die to your old self and put on your new self. Run to the right hand. That's your only refuge. That's the only place to go. And when you see the troubles coming, run to the rock. That's your rock. Jesus Christ on the right hand, that's his mercy. Now, when he comes back as a king, he will judge those on the left hand. They will all be condemned. The nations of the world will perish. And he will take the kingdoms of this world, and he will hand them over to his Father. Now, Israel will be saved as a nation, but not America. Israel as a whole nation will convert and be saved out of the furnace. She is now in the furnace. She is not yet done. She isn't cooked. And it's going to take years, and major cities like Haifa, Tel Aviv, will be wiped off the face of the earth. There will be no inhabitant. There will be no one living there. Now, you're watching it on television as though you're just watching some kind of news somewhere, but I'm just telling you, it's been written in the Bible long ago, that cities will lie waste in the land of Israel. So they are escaping today. Today Israel is strong. Today she's beaten up her neighbors. Today she could take out Syria in 2 or 3 days. Today she could take out, you know, all of her enemies. No problem. She has weapons and powers. But it's not going to happen. I'm just telling you right now, it's not going to happen. Israel itself is going to go into great consternation, into great disruption. And she's going to be devastated in city after city after city after city. She's holding back. The reason she's going into Lebanon as she is, she could have done them overnight. She could have wiped out the whole country. In one night, just could have wiped out that country. 2 or 3 days at the most. But she's taking her time because she's trying to get the media on her side. The media hates her. And all they show is all of the Muslim dead and all of the Lebanese dead and so on. They don't show the Israeli things. They don't even care about it. Israel will come out with bad press. She will come out hated by the world. The whole world will hate her. The only group that will be on her side is you and I. The only group that's going to be on her side are those that are on the right hand and realize you're not saved because you're good. You're saved because you're bad. And Israel is being shown to be bad. The media is showing left side. The media is showing today how Israel is monstrous, how they're fleshly, how they're, you know, hateful. There'd only be peace in the Near East if Israel would get out of there. If Israel would just, you know, shape up and limit herself, there might be peace. Or if she'd let herself be thrown into the sea. Never happen. It's not going to happen. God's already told us his program. He's going to save Israel. I don't know why I'm moving around. I'm not doing anything. I'm not. Israel has a bright future. And even though she's going into the furnace, she'll come out of that furnace pure. So she's going into the furnace and burning up all of her left-hand goodness. So that the mishpatim, the judgments of God, will be just. They will be tzaddik. So when the mishpatim of God are tzaddik, it means they've run over to the right hand. So the mishpatim on the left become righteous if we run to the right. So you have to get the judgment not against you, but for you, you have to run over to the right. So God has declared to us, and the sign of that is Israel actually will be pleasing in God's sight, will actually walk in the ways of the Lord, not when Jesus comes back. A lot of people feel that'll happen when Jesus comes back. No, Jesus won't come back until that happens. Israel in our day, in our time, we're watching it with our own eyes. Now, we play the key role. We are the key role, Romans 9, 10, 11. We will make Israel jealous by our mercy. In other words, by the fact that we're on the right side and Israel today is on the left side. Israel today is self-righteous. Well, we didn't do anything wrong. The others did wrong. We wouldn't have done that. They did that. They started it. They took our soldiers. We can't just let them throw Katyusha bombs on us. That's why we did it. Well, no one's listening. And Israel knows that. She realizes, you know, look, America wanted us to do this, and they gave their approval, and England likes us too. Yeah, well, everybody hates America and England. China hates them. You know, everybody's against them, all of Europe and so on and so forth. So Israel's in a tough spot right now because she can't win. What she needs to do is get right with God. She needs to get right with God and say, God, you know what? You know why all this is happening? It's not because of, you know, the Iranians and the Iraqians and all these people. It's not because of that. It's because we've sinned. It's because we just won't confess. We just won't admit it. We're determined to stand on the fact that we were chosen. Yes, you were chosen to die. Just like us Christians. You're chosen to die so that you don't run your life. You let Jesus run it. How many would like to have Jesus run your life in the next world? But you'd like to keep your life in this world and run it and then ask for forgiveness just before you jump over into heaven and, you know, live like hell all the way to heaven. No, God wants you to die now. How many would like to start this morning? You know, that is God's pleasure. That's his will. And you know what? There's not enough devils in hell that can stop you if that's your desire. There's not enough devils in hell. Say, well, I tried, but you know, blah, 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 blah. You're just talking. That's psychological nonsense. Look, Jesus Christ has already died. He's already risen again. He's already ascended on high. He's already sent the Holy Spirit into you. You have no excuse. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Well, I know, but you're just talking. We want to kill that part of you. So go before God and say, God, I'm a big blabber. Let's say it right now. I'm a big blabber. I'm a blabber mouth. Yeah, that's what God calls. They worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, God has already made a promise. He already made a promise. I will have a holy bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You could be that today, or you could wait till tomorrow or next week. You can wait. If you want to wait, how many would like to wait? You know, you can wait. God is not forcing you. This is a voluntary thing. Whole question is this. Do you believe God lied? Because if he lied, you'll have to wait till the next world to do this. But if he told the truth, you could start today. Now you have to every day get up and start all over again. You have to start all over again every day. Lord, today I'm proud again. Today I'm afraid again. Today I'm angry again. Today I'm impatient. Today I'm bitter. Today I want to kill my husband. Today, you know, and so every day you have to wake up and confess all over again what you just confessed the day before, because you haven't grown a bit. You're not growing. You're just learning to die faster. Dying faster is not growth. Dying faster just means you get before the Lord and just, God, forgive me. I have been cold this morning in my prayers. I didn't even want to read the Bible. I got up and wanted to brush my teeth. I'm just not into you. Your agenda is not my agenda. Okay, that's you still being alive, and you need to be dead. Now you say, Pastor, but nobody's even done that for 2,000 years. It's a new idea you have that one could practice it today. Well, first of all, you're wrong. There are people actually who have been saintly, godly, in every generation from the time the world began until now. That's the first thing you're wrong about. Second thing is, that it doesn't make any difference whether the church has done it or not for the last 2,000 years. God's not going to change his mind. He still wants that. And he's not going to come back until you're ready. The bride hath made herself ready. So that's why he said, judgment is coming, and I'm telling you right now, it's almost here. Judgment is coming. Be ready so that you're on the right side rather than the wrong side. The left side is always the wrong side. The left side is the wrong side. That's why in Texas we drive on the right side of the street. You know that unless you were a left-handed cowboy, you knew that you had to be able to draw from over here. And so that's why we drive on the left side, on the right side. In left side in England, they're backward. But, you know, we learn not to trust in anybody but ourselves. Okay. Now the Lord is saying to you, here's the way to get on my right side. Let me do all the fighting. Let me do all the defending. Let me give you peace. All right, now here's one of the signs, is if you believe that, you have to be happy all the time. You cannot ever be miserable. How many feel like that would be a big loss to your life? You know, it's like, man, that's one of the things that I have going for me is my self-pity pit parties. You know, I like those. Because it just makes you feel human, for one thing. It joins you with everybody. And everybody likes you better. Imagine getting in an elevator and smiling. You know, it's like, what is wrong with him? You know, what is wrong with her? You know, but if you're on there and you're looking frowned and sad and so on, people meet you at the drinking fountain, they feel like you're a normal human being. So you want to be with mankind, you're going to lose God. Because God wants you to be rejoicing at all times. I'm not being superficial. But deeply, there ought to be joy in you. Deeply, there ought to be eternity in your mouth instead of all the silly stuff we talk about and care about. So God wants to remove the vanity from your life, the wickedness from your life, the shallowness from your life. He wants to remove all of that, not in the world to come, but now. Now, even though you're not perfect in it, you have to start it every day, still it shouldn't be ruling your life. What should be ruling your life is the truth. Let the truth rule in your life today. Now, how many of you here are ready for that today? Praise God. That's good. Okay. I'm not looking at the ones that didn't. I'm trying to see the ones that did. That's a pretty big showing. Now, to do that, you have to pray like this. God, expose me today. Show me how wicked I am. Show me what a liar I am. Show me how vain I am. Show me how much I want to have happiness and not you. I don't want my happiness in you. I want you plus happiness. You know, because for most people that are Christian, they're not happy. Most people that are Christian are not happy because of Jesus. They're happy because of something else. But Jesus doesn't want you to, you don't need anything to be happy in Jesus. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Did God lie? And the answer is he didn't. Now, I want to read a couple more things. You remember the wise virgins, the next story after the virgins is the wise ones had the oil so they could endure to the end. The others just got saved spiritually, so they couldn't endure to the end. As soon as persecution came and so on, they turned away, and that's going to happen. But the next story is all about people that had talents. And he said that it's like a king. This is what the kingdom of heaven's like. It's like a king who gave one talent to one guy, five talents to another guy, 10 talents to another guy. And the guy with the 10 talents went and invested his money, his talents, his time, his treasures. He invested it, and he got 10 more. And another guy got 5, and he invested all his stuff, circulated it, didn't just hold it or hoard it. And he got 5 more. And another guy had 1 talent, didn't have all that much. And so he went and buried it. And he said, you know, God, I know you're a hard kind of God. You only gave me 1 talent. And I'm going to keep it because it's all I got. And then when you come back, I'll give it to you. And God was wrathful at that one guy because he was slothful and wicked. And he said to him, you wicked and slothful, because you knew that all these troubles were coming on the world, and you refused to invest. You refused to circulate. You refused to occupy until I came. I wanted you to be busy witnessing. I wanted you to be busy investing your money, doing business. I didn't want you to quit and stop and say, well, there's so many troubles in the world. That's why I couldn't have children. That's why I didn't want to do anything. So I just buried all my talents. No, get out there and do stuff. You've got a God who promised that you'd win. Now, if he promised that you'd win, you have no excuse for being, you know, stingy and holding things back and not circulating. Get out there, grow, talk, witness, work, do all that you're supposed to do, and stop saying, oh, the end is coming tomorrow. Who cares if the end comes tomorrow? Do your work today. So Jesus was wrathful with that slothful servant. How many here are slothful? Sloth is a not favorite word for most of us. Well, I wouldn't say I was slothful. I might say lazy. But I hate that word slothful. It sounds worse. I mean, you know, being lazy is not too bad. Well, that's what lazy is, slothful. Not only that, wicked. I am a wicked and unprofitable servant because I buried the napkin and had a stingy view of you. No, God has made a promise. You get out there and work. I tried. I put out my resume. Nobody wants me. I'm too old. I'm too something. No, stop complaining and griping. God is trying to show you something. He's going to judge those nations that talk like that and those people that talk like that. He rewards those that get out there and take a risk. It's risky. It's scary. Not with a God. Hey, if God be for you, who can be against you? Get up. Stop it. You know, well, I tried. It was 100 days I tried calling and doing this and so on. Nothing came of it. If only one thing would change, but God won't do it. You have a stingy view of God. You have a nasty view of God. No, God is good. So who cares? Who cares about your circumstances? God made a promise, and he will keep it. And if you don't see it, rejoice. Laugh. Get up and go anyway. Stop being a sniveling, complaining, griping toot, whatever. I don't even know what that means, but whatever that means. Have a good attitude. It's an exciting world. This is God's world. The devil doesn't do anything. He's nothing. He doesn't have a future. Don't worry about the devil. He's presently doing no harm to you. The only thing that trouble can do is hurt your flesh. It can never hurt your spirit. Just get out there. You're lazy. Stop being lazy. Slothful. You know, not occupying. Get out there and occupy. Get up. Well, every time I do this, Well, so what? Get up anyway. Stop that. I mean, he's going to reward people that then have a good attitude because of the promises he made. I will be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, look what so-and-so, and if only so-and-so, and I wish so-and-so, and may God, you know, this is all silly stuff. God's already made a promise. You don't need a rhema on it. You don't need to know whether you need to go to work today. Just get up and go to work. Just get up and produce. Just get up and laugh. Just get up. Get up. Get up. Well, it might not work. I might lose everything I have every time. So what? Lose again. What kind of a God do you have? What kind of a God do you have? Well, I hate losing. Well, you're a loser. So get up. You got a winning God. So you're a loser. You got a winning God. Get up again. Go again. Well, I might make a mistake. Of course you're going to make a mistake. You always make mistakes. Who cares? God is faithful. Whether you make a mistake or not, who cares? You're not that bright. But God is. And God said, get up. Produce. Whether you get paid or not, produce. Get up. Go to work. Then he came to my favorite. That is, that God said, he was talking about the kingdom of heaven and how he's going to judge all the nations. He said, my favorite is this, sheep and goats. I'm going to put the sheep on one side, and I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to put the goats on the other. Now, what are the sheep and what are the goats? Well, he didn't explain till you read on. Then it says this, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. He said, I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick, and you gave me care. I was a stranger, took me in. Six things. The six things representing the 6,000 years of mankind that he's judging. Then he said that the people answered him and said, the righteous, when did we see you? You, Jesus, the King. When did we see you hungry and naked? When did we see you in prison? When were you like that? He said, insofar as you did that to the least of these, my brethren, he's talking about the Jewish people. This is how he's going to judge the world, based upon Israel. Our mission is either toward Israel or we have no mission. Mission to the Gentiles is also part of the mission, but it must begin always first with Israel. And if you have not that mission, you have not that God. So here's what he said. I'm in my people Israel, even though they've been wicked, even though they've been stubborn, even though they've been everything you're not supposed to be. They've failed me totally on the left side. And even though today they're not running to my right side, they not only have failed on my left side, they won't run to my right side. And they keep insisting on their you know, righteousness. They keep insisting that they're good people and so on when they're not. But even so, I made a promise that Israel, all of it, will be saved. And that nation will come back to me and they will be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now the church, which has another calling but related to that, must be one of those that said, when did we minister to you? When you ministered to my people, my brethren, Israel. When you visited them, when you took care of them, when they were naked, when they were in trouble, when they needed a refuge, you were that refuge. You showed them mercy. You didn't say, because you've sinned against us, that's why we're glad you're getting it. How many know that Israel is the one getting it today and not us? Are you aware of that? Israel's getting it. So we could all go, goody. Good. Let them get it. They're nasty people anyway. There's a lot of bad Jewish people out there. Let them get it. They deserve it. They think they're hot shots. Okay, let them get it. Well, that's not God's attitude. God has a totally different attitude. And you have to have God's attitude or you're not of God. How did you get in but by mercy? And how are they going to get in but by mercy? Do you forget? You were forgiven $1 billion. They have to be forgiven 20 cents because the log that's in you is greater than theirs. Because they had the laws and the prophets and they had all these things. But you got in and you owed everything. You were a pagan. You were a heathen. You didn't even know the law, let alone do the law. You didn't even have any fear of God. But I let you in. Now, will you treat me through my people in the same way they deserve, left hand? Or are you going to treat them according to the right hand? And according to my promise, I give you to them. So the church must have a vision or a witness or a burden for Israel. Whether it's prayer, whether it's finances, whether you go on a trip, by the way, I'll be going next year in the next fall, 2007, and you can go with me. Go and tell them that you love them. And don't go because you want to see all the sights. Right now you might get a Katusha sight. You don't want to worry about the sights. I'm not going because the trouble is going to be over by then, which it is. But that's not why I'm going. I'm going because I believe God has shown me that is a crucial time, 2007 fall. That's a crucial time to be there. So I'm going exactly then, not this year, next year. I knew that a long time ago when I talked to him. And we already have a nice Christian messianic tour guide who is Jewish, but he also is a Christian. And I've gone with him before, and he's a powerful Rami Danieli. He's powerful, his family's powerful, but they live there on the front lines. They're the ones that are right there on the front lines, hated by both Jews and by all of their Muslim neighbors and so on. It's a tough deal. That's why we're here in Texas, they're over there. They're a front line, we're holding the baggage. But the baggage holders get as much reward as those that are on the front line. It's a privilege to be on the front line, but it's also a privilege for us to support those that are on the front line. So you can do things, and when you see them cold, warm them. When you see them discouraged, encourage them. When you see them in trouble, it's ministering unto Jesus when you do so, and he will reward you because of believing his promise. That's what he said to Israel. Israel, I will save you. How many here, now don't raise your hand, but how many here have a love for Israel? It doesn't matter whether you love them or hate them. You got to do it anyway. That's just God's heart. That's just the way God is fixed. He's rigged himself that way because he knows something that we don't know, obviously. When I look at them, I don't see all this glorious stuff, but he does. And he said, Jim, you're blind. You don't know how to look. Well, I sure don't. I don't think you do either, but... You know, and God, you know, with his left hand, give me a good swat. But thank God I'm hiding over in his right hand. You know, I'm hiding over there to say, whoop. And God says, okay, Jim, I will kill you, and then you'll behave yourself like I want. And so God is chastening us right now because he loves us. The same love wherewith he loved us, you need to love Israel. Now, don't tell me about, well, I know a good Jewish person. I don't care if you know a good Jewish person or not. You love them anyway. Love them because they're bad. Love them because they're nasty. Love them because they're hypocrites. Love them because they're mean. I don't care. Just love them because God said, I love them. And he's not going to save every person that's Jewish. Many of them are going to perish. But he's going to say a residue, a remnant, part of them. Which ones? The ones that admit they're no good and run over to the right hand and accept Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, their Messiah. And those that do so are the righteous, just like we're righteous. They came in by faith. We come in by faith. It's all by faith. Faith in what? Faith that I'm no good and God only is good. That's the faith right there. And God has made a promise. If you're no good, then run to me who am good and I'll give you my good. You won't have your own good. I'll let you borrow mine. I'll give it to you. It'll be yours forever. So put on that righteousness that is borrowed. It's not yours. It's alien. It's not something that you got by your own good works or your own brains or your willpower or your faith or whatever else. It isn't like faith. Oh, I had faith. You know, it has nothing to do with that. You don't have faith anyway. Faith is a gift. It's not some possession that you own. I had 4 pounds of faith this morning. It doesn't work that way. Faith is just whatever his promise is. Faith is totally based on his promise. I promise you, Israel, you will be holy. I will make you holy. I will put you in the furnace, and after I burn you up good, all of the flesh will be burned off, and only the spirit will remain, and you will be purified. That's a promise. And I believe that's what's happening to Israel, and that's why I'm going next year, right on time, when they're in the middle of the furnace. They've been in that furnace, and I believe the furnace is going to get hotter. I believe it's going to get hotter. And I believe that it's going to get so hot that Israel will be separated from Israel. It's going to be a difficult time for them, and they will be hated. And we will be hated for loving them, caring about them, praying for them, giving to them, opening our hearts and our lives to form a refuge house for Israel. Now, Israel, you may say, well, why Israel? What's so good about Israel? Aren't Arabs good people? They're just as bad. It's not a matter of good. It's a matter of we're all bad. I don't know why, and I don't care. If God says that's who he likes, so that's who he likes. I don't know why he chose them. How odd of God to choose the Jews. What is so wonderful about them? You know, my nose goes wrong. I'm not one of them. I don't know what's so good about it. I like my nose. does get sunburned though. But, you know, God doesn't ask me. He never said, Jim, you know, I'll take you on my counsel here. What do you think of the Jewish people? He never asked me. Never asked. He didn't care. I say, how about the Irish? What do you think of the Irish? He said, well, you're lucky you're Irish. I know that there's luck in the Irish. No, it's just nonsense. We're all full of nonsense. So God has chosen Israel, and we must have a mission to Israel. Now, you're going to be judged someday, individually, as well as by nations, of how you treated Israel. That's the way the king, when he comes back, this is the final story. Whether you're a wise virgin or a foolish virgin, whether you did well with your talents or did poorly with your talents and you were slothful, you must make sure that you're on the sheep side rather than on the goat side, because all the goats are going to be separated out and destroyed, and only the sheep will survive. Now that God has spoken, and he won't change his mind on that. But all you have to do then is to minister unto Jesus by ministering unto his brethren. Now that, you must pray. Start praying about it. Lord, bless Israel. He that blesseth the children of Abraham is himself blessed. But if you curse them, or if you ignore them, or if you don't have a heart for them, you know nothing of God. Because that mercy by which he saved you is the same mercy that you must extend to her. Mercy, why? Because she doesn't deserve it. Not because she does deserve it. Like, oh, she's Jewish, isn't that wonderful? No, it's not that she's wonderful. She's not wonderful. She's like us, exactly like us. That's what's so embarrassing. Jewish people are only like us, only more evidently. You know, their sins are open. They're obviously. But you see, where did they pick that all up? From the pagan nations. They got it from us. They learned all of their paganism from us. You know, all the paganism that they're into, it all came from, you know, Japheth and Ham. We're the ones that introduced all that stuff. And they hated their God. God came to them and said, I don't want you to have the gods of Japheth and Ham. I want you to have me as the real God. And they hated him. They pretended like they loved him with their mouth. Oh, we love you, God. But they actually loved the Baals. They liked the sex. They liked the booze. They liked the money. They liked the mammon. They liked everything but God. And he said, you come to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So they should perish on the left side, but actually, he's already told us they will be on the right side. Now it's your job, who are on the right side, to pray for them, to prove and to show that you're on the right side. You want to be right with God, you got to be right with Israel. You want to be right with God, you have to be right with Israel. So that's our mission. So that's why we do what we do, Joe. You know, we don't have a choice. It's not our we. Kindly when we do it. It's just that we're dead. Just whatever you say, God, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I'm not convincing you. I'm just telling you I'm convinced. I'm not convincing you. I'm showing you I'm convinced that the judgment that God is going to set up is one based upon how you treat Israel. And insofar as you have ministered unto them, you have ministered unto the Lord. That's not why you go to heaven. That's just proof that you are in heaven because you're of God. So that's the judgment. So that's how God's going to do it. So I hope you're blessed today. It's a heavy message? No, it's an exciting message. Lift up your eyes, because right now the furnace that they're going through is where God snatches them out. He's just waiting for them to get burned till all the dross is burned off. How you doing in there? Ah, ah! It's okay. Put some more in. More fire. Ah, ah! That's it. Yeah, that's it. Now, no flesh left on you. You know, and when they're like that, they'll be easy to love. Amen? Same with you. That's what you've learned. You're not livable. No one can live with you until you're dead. You're too much alive. How many can feel some of the old self dying off, and how many are trying to keep it? Oh, don't let it go. You know, could I keep that one? How many have a few sins you'd like to keep? Not bad ones, just nice Christian sins. You know, little self-pity, a little fear, little false humility, stuff like that. How many would like to keep a few of those? And God wants to burn all of that. So there's nothing left of you but Jesus. In this world, not in the world to come, now. Let it start today. All right, let's have a couple testimonies and then we'll go home. Who has a testimony? All right, let's just go home. Somebody has a testimony. Who has a testimony? You want to be like that? Praise God. Customer number one. Good word. Praise God. Amen. It's good. It's good. That's where you meet God. Yep. The kindness of God. The mercy of God. Yep. Anyone else? Somebody else? Yeah. That's powerful. That's powerful. Hope you all heard that. It's good. Who else? Yes. Amen. That was nice to you. What favor were you thinking? Praise God. God is good. God is good. God does not lie. Told the truth. Don't worry about whether you believe in him, and don't worry about whether you've behaved yourself. The only question is this: does he lie? It's not a question about you. It's a question about him. Does he lie? He spoke the truth. I'm just telling you now what it is. Now, let him fix you. Let him do all the changing. Let him take care of everything. You're not going to do it. Just don't fight him. Just simply say, God, you know, I'm open to that. You know, if you can do it, just don't ask me to help you. Do it. Yeah. If I answer you psychologically, try. That's psychological. But the truth is, that's not what's going to happen. If you believed already, not going to believe, but if you believed already that God doesn't lie, you'll get up without trying. You won't have to try. So whether you try or don't try doesn't make any difference. The point is whether you believe. It's not doing or not doing. I mean, not doing is just as stupid as doing. Because the doing can be legalistic, the not doing can be legalistic. It's just all legalistic. But the believing, that's a gift. And you can only get that by hearing. That's why faith comes by hearing. So it has nothing to do with you. He's not talking about you at all. He's talking about him. Do you believe he didn't lie when he said, I will bless Israel. I will bless the church. I will have a people. I will have a nation, a holy nation. So it's not a psychological question, even though you've asked it psychologically. You can't get an answer because there is no answer. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you do it, that's just as good as not doing it. I mean, there's no advantage like, okay, I won't do anything. I'll just do nothing. Yeah, but that's doing something. Doing nothing is doing something. Or, okay, I'm going to do something. That's just legalistic. So you really can't win that way. It has to be that you heard it, that God is good, and you knew it. You can't get it the other way. Like, I'll help him out, and then I'll get closer to getting it. No, you can't. You either heard it or you didn't. You're either pregnant or you're not. Did you hear what I just said? You either heard it or you didn't. Now, don't go by your head saying, I heard it. You don't know in your head. It's in your heart. The heart hears. And I can't say who's hearing and who's not hearing. Only God knows. You may not even know, not psychologically. You may not even know. Well, I don't know. I still have some doubts, so I guess I didn't hear. That's silly. You just said something silly. You don't know whether you heard or not. It's not in the head. It's not in the will. It's not in the emotions. It's in the heart. You don't know what you heard in the heart. You won't know until later. There's no way to know until you see how you behave. So I can just tell you, I know I spoke to you with passion. I know I spoke to you with truth. I know that, but I have no idea what it does. Only God knows. You know, but you may not know that you know. You may know in your spirit, but you may not know in your soul what you know in your spirit. But it's already taken place. You don't have to make it take place. Either the seed went in the ground or it didn't. Digging it up isn't going to help. Yeah, and there's a little root on there. Put it back in. Bring it up the next day. It's about the same as yesterday. You know, it'll never grow until you leave it in there. So you have to take your eyes off. So in a way, it's a great question. In another way, it's not, because there isn't any answer. The only thing only God knows, because He knows your heart. He knows what you heard. And because He loves you, I'm confident that you will do the will of God. But it's because God, that's God. My faith isn't in you doing it. My faith is in God doing it in you, for you, through you. To God be the glory. 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 Father God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor because you are not a liar. You are not like us. You are not a man that would repent, change his mind. You never repent. You never change your mind. Whatever you said from the beginning, that's what you're going to do. Whatever you promised from the beginning, that's the promise you'll stand on. You will perform every word you ever spoke, and no one will stop you. We can't stop you. The devil can't stop you. All your enemies can't stop you. No one can stop you. You always do what you wish. You always get your way. It always goes the way you want. And we will not be saved except we run to the right hand. Lord, teach us not to be foolish maidens, not to be unwise stewards of your talents. Teach us not to be goats, stubborn goats, but teach us to be lambs who, even though they're led to the slaughter, trust the shepherd to rise them up again and give them good pasture. You've made the promise. There's no way you can go back. We do believe. We thank you, Lord God. We give you praise, Lord God. We give you glory, Lord God. We love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. Let everything that's within us bless your holy name. Amen and amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace, not your peace, not some psychological peace. Give you his shalom, his peace. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.